surprises us at times and gets totally overwhelmed at others by the things going on. We pray that you would quiet our minds now to see and to reflect on the significance of these events that we've seen both in the lead up to Christmas and those Christmas events themselves. Please guide us and speak to us this morning, we pray. Amen. So in the last school holidays, my family visited the Gunns Plains Caves. In 1906, Bill Woodhouse was returning from a hunting expedition when one of his dogs fell in a hole. So what did he do? He grabbed a rope and a candle and he decided to go find out what was at the bottom of that hole. Now, like most caves, the Gunns Plains Caves, the entry to them is steep. And even with the stairs and having them well lit, we were actually quite cautious with our kids as we made our way down there, let alone going down with a rope, no idea of what's at the bottom, and a candle that can easily go out. It's a descent into darkness. And anyone who's ever been on a caving tour before would know how dark it gets down there in the caves. Pretty much every tour you go on, they'll turn out the lights for a moment. And even if you're not claustrophobic, it's very easy to feel how deep that darkness is. It kind of squishes in on you and makes it a bit of a relief when the lights are flicked back on again. There's nothing that brings more immediate hope than light in the darkness. It increases confidence. It makes our footing firm and reliable. It brings hope to the situations that we find ourselves in. Confidence that there is a way out, that there's a way home. More than 600 years before Jesus was born, this creeping feeling of doom had overtaken God's people in Isaiah's time. It was a time of deep darkness and distress. Read along with me from Isaiah chapter 9, verse 1. Nevertheless, there'll be no more gloom for those who are in distress. In the past, he humbled the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali. But in the future, he will honor Galilee of the nations by way of the sea, beyond the Jordan. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of deep darkness, a light has dawned. Gloom, deep darkness, distress. It was a time of national crisis. They were longing for hope, longing to hear a word from their God as they faced the unfaceable. They had already experienced economic ruin, and to the north of them loomed the superpower Assyria. That didn't just threaten their lives. It threatened their very existence as a nation. The future looked like things look when you go swimming in a heavily chlorinated pool and you open your eyes underwater. As you pop to the surface, everything looks blurry and you blink again trying to get things back to normal. It's uncertain and it's unsettling. To make things worse, they were all alone, isolated and hopeless. There was no way they could see to get things back to the way they used to be. Nothing discourages like the loss of hope. And this year we have felt that feeling of what it means to pop out of the pool and see everything as kind of blurry, clouded by what is going on and different than what we'd imagined. In the space of a couple of weeks, everything that was certain suddenly became uncertain. Work and school drop-off changed and then disappeared altogether as we retreated into our homes. Didn't see how it was going to go back to the way that it was before. Things grew gloomy as if our torch batteries were fading to black. We've felt these things, haven't we? Now, normally at the end of a year like this, we'd be looking forward somewhat optimistically to next year, sort of all the good things we've got planned. And yet this year, our uncertainty and our gloom lingers. Even in Tasmania, where we've had it relatively good, there's still this sense where we can't quite put things back together the way that we wish they were. We've got this feeling that things are uncertain and easily changed and fragile. We see that again last night with the Sydney to Hobart race cancelled for the first time in 74 years. Find ourselves in a very different world. Our torches aren't exactly shining brightly into what looks quite dark. So what do you do with all this gloom? How do you feel as we approach Christmas this year? Are you so weary and tired that you just want it to be over so that you can go on holidays in January and relax? Is it a welcome distraction? The presents and the food and the family are a helpful glimpse of joy into a year of hard knocks? Or is it something more? Is it truly a light shining in the darkness? One that brings immediate hope, like flicking the lights back on in a cave. Truly understood, Christmas brings an ever brighter light into our world. Have a look again at verse 2. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of deep darkness, a light has dawned. Consider Isaiah's confidence as he says these things and looks forward in faith. He's not squinting in the darkness trying to make out what is blurry. It's as if he's walked forward into the future and is looking back on events that have already happened. That's how clearly he sees things. His vision is perfect and his torchlight is bright. If you want to imagine it, it's a bit like watching a replay of your favourite sporting event or movie. As you watch them, you're caught up perhaps in the emotion and the feelings and the drama of it all, riding the highs and the lows of the events. But you watch it sort of looking back on things that have happened. Imagine watching a replay, for example, of the cricket from the last few days. If you we're thinking on Friday night, things look quite uncertain for Australia. It wasn't very positive at all. And in the space of far less than 24 hours, everything has changed around completely. If you were to watch that game again, you might be frustrated by bits and pieces on the way, but you would watch it looking back on something that is certain. Even if the middle gets a bit messy and a bit frustrating, the end result is sure. You are going to be happy with the way things end. That confidence is how Isaiah looks at the world in the time of deep darkness. For people walking in darkness, a light has dawned. And that light is the hope of Christmas. Jesus came into our world as a tiny baby for people who are trapped in gloom. He came for people who have years like 2020, people who find themselves in darkness and distress. Have a look at verse 6. For to us a child is born, and to us a son is given. And then jumping down to the middle of verse 7, he says, he will reign over David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing it and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. Christmas is not a painkiller or a Panadol as a distraction for that lasts a couple of hours or a couple of days. It's not a busy distraction of presents and family and food that bring a little bit of joy into lives that need it. It is from that time on and forever. God's people in Isaiah's time were looking for something to pin their hopes to. And God said that something was a baby. For those who will receive it and recognize it, Christmas, the birth of Jesus, brings a hope that shines an ever brighter light. Now, I'm not sure if you've ever had a bad dream or got scared in the middle of the night. But when that happens, you end up laying awake for hours, particularly if it's a really bad one, sort of peering through the covers at the shadows that you can kind of see in the corners of your room, or jumping with fright as the noises outside kind of chill your blood. But when that light starts coming in the window and the sun starts rising in the sky, everything changes. Nothing seems so bad anymore. You have a growing confidence. If you have the time, you may have your best sleep of the evening. Everything is warmer and clearer when the light comes. So do you feel the need for that light in your gloom? To have a hope that will last and give you robustness? If so, take hold of the light and hope of that child, because that child, Jesus, took hold of that for you. Jesus entered into our world because God was personally concerned about you. Jesus lived a perfect life so that through his death on the cross as your substitute, he could make you perfect and could welcome you into his family, adopt you in forever. He rose again from the dead so that your ending would be certain. That no matter how dark or messy or rocky your life gets, its conclusion is fixed. You spend forever with Jesus in a place where there is nothing bad or nothing sad ever. For those who will receive it, Christmas is a hope that brings an ever brighter light. As dawn rises, steps become firmer. We can see clearly to walk through this dark world on our way to our eternal home. When things get dark, when they get gloomy or weary, don't squint into the darkness trying to make out the future. Look to the child that was born on that holy night. As we capture in the lyrics of that song, long lay the world in sin and error pining, till he appeared and the soul felt its worth. The thrill of hope, a weary world rejoices, because yonder breaks a new and glorious morn. Christmas means that your future is certain. Look at the child that is given to us. Believe and gain hope. Amen. And I invite Julia to come up and lead us in prayer.
Let's pray. Please bow your heads. Heavenly Father, you see us and you know us. You know our distress and our fear. You know our helplessness. You see our frailty. Lord, we cannot even add 1 minute to our lives. You know our guilt and our shame, those thoughts and ambitions we hide. You know our limited understanding. You see our darkness, a darkness of our own making. A darkness humanity chose long ago when we rejected you, the light, our life. Each of us have preferred this darkness. We didn't seek you, we didn't fear you or worship you. We created our own gods and gave ourselves to created things that had no power, that could not save or reveal truth. We were pitiful and wretched. We blinked, but saw nothing. Yet, Lord, you did not despise us. Though we were appalling, your heart was filled with love and all your compassion was aroused. You sent your Son, beloved by you from all eternity, to come to us as one of us, Emmanuel, God with us. Jesus, eternal Son of God, light from light, your joy and delight, Father God, came to earth. O Lord, we praise you and thank you for this act of love, that you, O God, should become like one of us to save us. And so light, the light, entered the darkness to make your glory known, your grace, your mercy, your power, your justice. Through your Son, you caused us to see ourselves as we are. We saw our sin, its ugliness, its destructiveness. Through your Son, the light dawned in the darkness as you revealed your will to save us, to take us out of darkness and into your wonderful light. When we saw our shame, we hid from you. We sheltered in the darkness, the very darkness that was hell-bent on our destruction. We hid from you, our judge, but you, the judge, became our savior. It is too wonderful for us, too beautiful, that we who are objects of your wrath should become your children through the sacrifice of your Son. This is eternal life, to call you the one true God, our Father, and to know Jesus, the one you have sent, by the revelation of your Spirit. Thank you, God, for the strength for today and the hope for eternity that is ours if we put our trust in your Son. When we are distressed, when our life is uncertain, when the pain is great, when the guilt is oppressive, cause us to find peace and hope in you. When life is good, cause us to praise you. Continue to make yourself known through your Son. May all who look to Jesus see your glory, the glory of the one and only God. Captivate us by your glory, Lord God. Turn us from worthless things and enthrall us with who you are. Teach us to adore you and worship you, for you are the one who calls us out of darkness and into your marvelous light. You are the living God, and there is none like you. Amen.